Blog Talk Radio.
It has been quite a busy sports week. Of course, I find myself saying that every week. Welcome, welcome. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We're doing the show on a special day today, and I hope that you will share this broadcast with your friends and with your social networks. There has been so much happening on the field, on the court, off the field, off the court. And so on today's show, Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad is going to join us in the bottom half of the show. And we're going to talk about the NFL's meeting. The NFL owners had meetings this week in New York with players, with the NFL Players Association, the executive director, Damari Smith, some former players. And by all accounts, the first meeting was productive. The owners wanted to have another meeting next week. A couple of the players were not available because of prior commitments. So they're talking about meeting in 2 weeks. And one of the things that came out of the meeting, or that did not happen in the meeting, we've been hearing a lot about, owners are not going to force players to stand for the anthem. Okay, that had been something that I know many people had had some concerns about and were not happy with the idea or with the thought that the owners were going to make players stand for the anthem. Okay, so that's not happening, and it looks like there is a willingness to have some dialogue about what the real issues are and about how you move this conversation, how you move it forward, how do you get to the next step, and I was really glad to hear that. That's what I'm going to talk about with Brother Muhammad when he joins the show a little bit later in the program. But before that, we have a lot to get to, okay? There is a lot to get to. So there has been a lot of action on the week. We are now in week 6 of the NFL season, or there have been 6 weeks of play. This is week 7. The Houston Texans have a bye week. They beat the Cleveland Browns at NRG Stadium this past Sunday. Deshaun Watson continues to impress me. And here's what's really interesting. And this is why it's always important to have different voices and different people in the room when telling the story, because our perspectives vary. So I'm sitting in the press box where I always sit and sitting next to someone who I have a fair amount of respect for. He covers the Texans, and that's his publication just covers the Texans, okay? So he's pretty engrossed in what the Texans do. And so as we sit there, he would have these conversations or have these moments where he was like, Deshaun, like exacerbated, right, that Deshaun was somehow, not doing everything that he should, not being all that he could be, right? Hang on a second. I had to reload the page. I just want to make sure that we are – there we go. Here we go. I had to reload the page because there was a little connectivity issue. So, now, granted, I realize Deshaun Watson is a rookie, and there is a lot of growth for him, right? There's a lot that he can grow and a lot he has to learn. But, you know, if you've covered Texans in recent years, as most people that I'm sitting with in the press box regularly have, how are you exacerbated by Deshaun Watson, the rookie who really, quite frankly, is keeping this offense in game sometimes on his own just because he has the ability to make plays and to extend plays and to keep the defense kind of – the other defenses thinking. It is not to say that you should never criticize Deshaun Watson, that he never makes mistakes, but this notion, if you will, that he is – somehow not doing all that he should or can do is just kind of interesting to me. I'd love to know your thoughts about it. You're listening to Chalk Talk. My name is Kim Davis. Thank you so much for being here. It is a different day that we're doing the show this week. I'm doing the show just because of some commitments on It's Thursday and Friday with a conference. But super glad that you guys have decided to be a part of the show today. I ask that you encourage you to share this video with your social, your online social media communities, with your Facebook friends and family. And if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can, of course, always share that link with your, you know, with your friends and family as well, because we are growing the Chalk Talk brand, and but we do that by building the tribe. So I need some more folk in the tribe who are willing to help me, you know, build the community. So thank you in advance for being a part of Chalk Talk and everything that we're trying to do here. So if you will, go ahead and hit that share button. I'm going to put that here now. Share video. It's right below the broadcast, right down. You'll see it where it says share, and you can just hit the share button, and it will share. Okay, so, and I have been, so I want to talk about what's happening with the Houston Texans. It is their bye week, so there's not a lot to say there. Jonathan Joseph, let me say this, was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Jonathan Joseph had a big day on Sunday. Did I throw away this stat sheet? Maybe I didn't. Jonathan Joseph had a pick six. He had two interceptions, one they returned for a touchdown. He just played big really all week. The entire game, great coverage. And so I want to tell you some numbers from that game, and I will do that by looking at the game book. So, Jonathan Joseph had a big game. Deshaun Watson, looked good again. You know, he's still working out some things. There's a lot of things that he will have to work out. So, listen, the Texans scored 30 or more points in four straight games. That's the first time it's ever happened in the history of the franchise. They recorded a pick six and a safety in the same game. That's only happened twice. It's the second time in franchise history. The pick six, of course, as I just mentioned, was by Jonathan Joseph, and the safety was by outside linebacker Connor Barwin in week seven. So I guess, the 2012 season, that's the last time it happened against Baltimore. So they had three interceptions in the first half for the second time in franchise history. The last time it happened was against Miami in week one of the 2012 season. And let me just say this. That Cleveland Browns team is not very good, right? And the quarterback, Hogan, is really not good. Like, he really, really is not good. And, you know, it's not a personal attack. He's probably a lovely person. I don't know him personally. But in terms of his play and what he does on the field, not very good at all. As you know, or probably have heard by now, Colin Kaepernick has filed a suit with the National Football League, filed to say that there is collusion and that he feels the owners are colluding to keep him out of the league. And there were some jokes that people were saying, maybe he's just concerned after he saw the play of Hogan and some of the other quarterbacks play this weekend. He said, hey, you know what? I should be playing. And I am going to do whatever it takes so that I can get back into the league. And so he did file the grievance on Sunday. I was planning to file it. I think he officially filed it on Monday. And so there's a conversation of, you know, can he prove that? Is it something that he's going to be able to prove? Not really sure. But I don't think it means you don't try. Okay? I don't think it means you don't try. So what happens next? Well, that, you know, it goes through the legal process, and we'll see what happens. We're going to talk about the meeting, as I mentioned, a little later in the program. Colin was not in the meeting. There were some reports on yesterday that Colin was invited and he didn't attend. The truth is Colin was not invited by the league or the owners, but some of the players asked him to come. And so I think my understanding is that from what I, you know, his lawyer issued a statement because of some of that, you know, so that false noise was floating around online. And his lawyer said, you know, he would love to be a part of the process. And, you know, so he wants to help, you know, he started this conversation. This is what the statement said, but he started the conversation. And although he may not have done everything the best way, you know, he's been criticized a lot for, you know, he should have talked to this person, or perhaps he should have, you know, handled it this way. And he made some mistakes, like wearing the socks with the, you know, the socks early on, and the Castro shirt, and talking about not voting. Okay, so he hasn't been perfect in the process, but he has been who he says he is. He is committed to change, to helping people. He continues to do that even though he is not in the National Football League. So I think if you're looking for an excuse and a reason to criticize Colin Kaepernick, it won't be hard to find that. But if you are really looking for some answers and solutions and to understand what the issues are, you'll see that what he did was a catalyst for a conversation that, quite frankly, we would not be having right now, not like this, not at this level. And so for everything that we may think he could have done better, good for him for getting us started talking about police brutality and social injustice. Now, there are those who argue that there is no social injustice and people should be just fine and there's really no issues. And so, you know, for people who think that, I don't really know how you argue with people like that, you know, because clearly there are lots of challenges and issues. And so, you know, we just have to pick where you make your comments and where you make your statements and what you decide to do. All right, so, you know, we're going to talk about the NFL meetings a little bit later in the show when my guest joins me, Brother Muhammad. But I want to talk about what's happening on the field and really not even just the game action, right? Because we talked about it, the Texans are now 3-3. I was going to give you guys some of the numbers from the game. Here are some individual notes from Sunday's game. Jadeveon Clowney had 3 tackles, 1 pass defense, which gives him 10 career passes defended. Inside linebacker had an interception against Kevin Hogan in the second quarter. Safety Curtis Drummond finished with 4 tackles. He also had a sack of Kevin Hogan. Kevin Hogan, did I say this? He was pretty awful. Like, Kevin Hogan, if you watch any of the game on Sunday, you should know, you know what? Colin Kaepernick is not out of the league because he cannot play. Kevin Hogan is awful. So, like I said, I'm sure he's a lovely man, but as an NFL quarterback, and definitely as an NFL starting quarterback, not very good at all. Running back Dante Foreman had a team-high 59 yards, and Will Fuller had 2 receptions for 62 yards. DeAndre Hopkins finished with 2 receptions for 19 yards and 1 touchdown. He has scored 5 touchdowns in 3 games for the first time in his career. So there were Kareem Jackson was tied for second on the team with a total of 5 tackles. Now, Jonathan Joseph, I mentioned to you, Jonathan Joseph is the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He finished with 3 total tackles, 1 for loss, 2 solo, 3 passes defended, and 2 interceptions. So he passed Kareem Jackson and Dante Robinson for the most interceptions in Texans history. That was his 14th interception. Kareem Jackson and Dante Robinson had 13. He picked up his first multi-interception game as a Texan and second multi-interception game of his career. He intercepted the pass from Kevin Dogan. I told you about those. And the 82-yard return was the 4th longest interception return in team history. He has 3 interceptions returned for a touchdown as a Texan, which is tied for first in franchise history with quarterback Kareem Jackson. He now has 28 career interceptions and 6 career interceptions returned for a touchdown. So it was quite a day for Jonathan Joseph, hence the honor of being named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. So Deshaun Watson completed 17 of 29 passes. That's right under 59% for 225 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. His passer rating was a 103. He ran for 23 yards on six attempts. He has 15 touchdown passes this season. That is the most by a rookie in his first six games in NFL history and tied for the most by any quarterback in the NFL history through their first six career games. He's tied with Mark Ribbian and Kurt Warner. He becomes the first rookie in NFL history with three or more touchdown passes in three consecutive games. The first player since Butch Sundin of AFL's Boston Patriots back in 1960. He passed Ryan Mallett for the most rushing yards by a quarterback in franchise history. And he also, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he passed Ryan Mallett for the ninth most passing yards in Texans history. So there's some other things that happened, but he has, he's been good. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard not to like Deshaun Watson. I think you'd have to make an effort to not like him. And one of the things that I find to be really interesting is that whenever Bill O'Brien comes to the podium after a game and he's talking about Deshaun Watson, he starts off with, he is really intelligent. He's very intelligent. He's really smart. Like every week he says that, almost like it's a surprise. What is that? I mean, yes, he's intelligent. He's a college graduate. He's led a team to a national championship in college. He's come in and learned the playbook. He's getting better every week. Why do you keep up and tell us it's that underlying code thing. I'm sorry. It just seems like it. When you talk about a black quarterback, it's almost a surprise because we have to tell you that he's intelligent. He's not just athletic. Well, we got it. We got it. You don't have to keep telling us that he's smart. You are the one that's surprised by it. I mean, and maybe there are some others who are. Maybe I am not the only, maybe there's some others who are surprised. It's just me. But at any rate, Deshaun Watson is continuing to grow as a rookie, as a quarterback in this offense. And, they have the week off. Well, they have a bye week, so they're not necessarily off, but they don't have a game this weekend. There's not a game this weekend. So it is their bye week. And it comes, I guess, at a pretty good time because, you're a little more than you're right at the, like I said, they played six games. They're 3-3. And, the AFC South is not the best division in football, but it is a division that you have to pay some attention to. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the question, remains, are the Jacksonville Jaguars for real? How good will they be? Are they really? So the Texans, of course, lost the season opener to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they will play again, but that game will be in Jacksonville. So they do have another game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but that's going to come later in the season. So, but there was another season-ending injury to a marquee player in the National Football League, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, who many say is the best player in football, or at least is the best quarterback in football. He went down with a collarbone injury, and he is thought to be out for possibly the season. So that will not be good, clearly, for the Packers, clearly, and not great for the league because he's one of the faces of the National Football League. So here are the standings in the AFC South. The Titans are 3-3, the Jaguars are 3-3, the Texans are 3-3, and the Colts are 2-4. So it's a pretty close race in terms of You know, the Patriots are 4-2, the Chiefs are 5-1, they're leaders in their division, and the Steelers are 4-2 after beating the Chiefs on Sunday. The Chiefs were the last unbeaten team, and then the AFC South has three teams that are 3-3, right? So the best records in football are had by teams that are 5-1. You have the Eagles in the NFC East at 5-1, and the Chiefs at 5-1 in the AFC West. The Broncos lost to the Giants on Sunday. The Giants were previously, well, not unbeaten. They hadn't won a game. They were 0-5. They lost to the Giants. I say that because the Giants just don't look to be very good this year. Now they are 1-5. The 49ers are 0-6, and the Browns are 0-6. So there are two winless teams in the National Football League, the Browns and the Reds. The 49ers, of course, the 49ers have decided to bench Brian Hoyer. That's the team that was not going to, you know, re-sign Colin Kaepernick. And so for all of those, for those of you who say, well, you know, Colin had a job and he should have just stayed and played with the 49ers, the 49ers let him know that they were going to release him. So playing with the 49ers was never an option. So I just want you guys to be clear about that. All right, so that was an option. He didn't have an option to play for the 49ers. That ship had sailed. They were going to release him. But I want to check something about the Jaguars. You know, you wonder about the Jaguars because they've looked pretty good in spurts, right? So the next up, they play at the Colts. And when do they play the Texans again? December 17th, that game is in Jacksonville. The Jaguars host the Texans December 17th. And so Jacksonville Jaguars president apologizes to the city veterans official for team anthem protest in London. Leonard Fournette is to sit out practice. He's a little banged up. Now, that's really big news for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was just trying to see, as we check in on what's happening around the league and with the Jaguars, you know, the Jaguars owner may be the first one to kind of break from the other NFL owners and his thought about this whole boycott thing. But, again, we're going to get to that later in the program. So here's something I want to shout about. We've seen a lot of really ugly injuries. We saw, Houston fans saw J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus get knocked out of the game against the Chiefs. But more importantly, not just that game, basically knocked out for the season. Odell Beckham Jr. banged up and knocked out. His season is, believed to be done for the Giants. And I wanted to say, there have just been a lot of NFL injuries that have been plaguing teams around the league. And not just injuries that put you out for the game, but injuries that put you out, like you're out for the season. You know, you are unable to perform, to do anything else. Let's see here. So I had a conversation with a former NFL player after this weekend's games, and I said, you know, there have been so many injuries this year. Like, there have been a lot more injuries. What do you attribute that to? You know, because when you look at some of the guys that have been hurt, you know, it's not that they have not been – you know, they're not working out hard, they're not, you know, they're not in shape. So what is causing the problem? You know, where does that problem come from? And he said, and I said, well, is it because of the way some teams are training? But then you have so many teams who are banged that are seeing players suffer these injuries, right? So what is that? And he seems to think, he says, well, you know, it's because they're not practicing, they're not hitting. And when you're not getting that live action in practice, it's difficult to really assimilate that. And then when you get it in a game, you know, your body's just not quite ready for it. And I thought, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. You know, as a tennis player, I mean, you can be, and tennis is not a contact sport, you know, like football, but you can be really fit, you can do all kinds of training, and if you're not on the court, you know, with that pounding of being on that court, playing the live action, your body is not quite, you have to get into live game action shape, and nothing gives you that other than playing. And so, you know, the in the collective bargaining agreement, the, you know, the amount of time that the players can practice has, you know, been limited, and also, you know, the thought about injuries. But if it is one of the reasons that players are having these catastrophic injuries more often now, then they're going to have to rethink their approach, right? They're going to have to rethink the approach because every week we're seeing players go out for the year. We're seeing players, and that's bad for their teams. It's bad for them as individuals. I mean, nobody wants to see somebody banged up and hurt, right? But it's also bad for the National Football League, especially when some of their marquee players are some of their marquee players are being knocked out and banged up for the entire season. So, you know, it is an interesting time of the National Football League. And, in fact, we saw it in basketball last night. It was a fluke injury. Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics went down with just a nasty fall, and he is clearly going to be out for the season. I mean, maybe when they x-rayed it, it's not as bad as, you know, it looked last night, but it looked pretty bad. And, you know, we hope for the best and wish him, you know, a speedy and, more importantly, a complete recovery. But that fall was nasty. I mean, you could just see the faces on the players on the court who could see what happened and who could see his foot turn the other way, let me tell you. And so it looks like, I believe, he broke the bone in his ankle and also in his leg. That is just, listen, I'm over it. I have had chronic issues from an ankle injury when I broke my ankle in college and had pins and plates and screws in them, in it. And my most recent surgery was, this is now my third surgery on the ankle. The second surgery was to go in and take the hardware out. The third surgery that I just had, I'm actually still recovering from, still on crutches, was to go in and clean up some of the bone spurs and some of the stuff that's in the ankle, because it's not like you have a problem just then. It creates problems on later in life. And so my thoughts go out to him and wish him nothing but the best. Same with J.J. Watt. When you break something, you know, because then you run the risk of having arthritis set in. And so, you know, it is definitely a journey. The good thing is right now while they're playing, they have access to excellent health care and excellent rehabilitative services and people working with you. But later in life, you'll have that. You're on your own. Now, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine and be able to afford it himself, but those injuries are really nothing to sneeze at, nothing to laugh about. So that is happening. The injuries, I think, are something that we will continue to monitor, and we'll continue to monitor and also look at. And hopefully next week, we won't have conversations about other players who have been lost for the season. I hope that is not the case. So speaking of basketball, the Houston Rockets opened their season last night against the Golden State Warriors. They went into Golden State. It's the night that Golden State got their rings for winning the championship last season. And the Rockets won that game by a point. It's just one game. But they outscored Golden State 34-20 in the fourth quarter, which was really the difference. And so one of the things, listening to Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, after the game, Steve Kerr said he thinks his players just were not really in the kind of shape they needed to be in to play 48 minutes. He just felt like they were not in the best shape, which I found to be interesting. I found that to be definitely interesting. So, yeah. But Golden State is going to be very good. They are very good. And, it's, you know, last night it was a lot of James Harden. I was trying to pull up some comments after the game. And one of the things that, come on. I have reloaded the show a couple times. If you're coming in and out of the broadcast, that is what's happening. And I'm not really sure what's going on with the Be Live platform. I was going to use something else today, but I have a guest that I'm bringing on the show, and so I needed to, obviously, hang on a second. Don't go away. I'm still here. I'm connecting the camera if you're with me on Facebook Live. And, hang on a second. We're going to connect to the camera in just a moment. But listen, the Houston Rockets will be, it's a long season. One of the good things about the season is that they have, they've actually made the season longer, okay? They made the season longer, and the reason they did that is to not have as many back-to-back games, because that was one of the problems or challenges that they have had with the NBA games, because they hadn't been able to, you know, players get banged up. Players started sitting out, and there's just a lot of concern about that. So we're going to go and bring in. I told you earlier in the show that Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad is going to join us, and I just think there have been some interesting things happening as it relates to the National Football League and the protests and the boycotts. And first of all, good morning, Brother Muhammad. Thank you for joining me. I know you had to juggle some stuff, but I appreciate you being here. All right, so listen, I appreciate that. I wanted to talk to you about, we've had a lot of conversations over the past couple months about NFL boycotts and protests. People talk about protests, but I also talk about the boycotts, because I don't think there's been really much credence given to the fact that there are people who are actually boycotting the NFL because of their support of Colin Kaepernick. So their boycott and then their protest and whatever happened when the president hijacked the conversation a few weeks ago. But yesterday, the NFL owners and Roger Goodell, the NFL Players Association, and some players sat down and met and actually had conversations about what should happen next and what the issues really are. I think while nothing was solved yesterday, that at least is something positive that's happening. Your thoughts? Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So, Brother Muhammad, you mentioned something really interesting. You said of how they colluded against him. You know, this week, Colin and his attorney, Mark Garagos, filed a grievance against the league about collusion. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, there's no way you can prove it. I said, well, good for him for filing it, because I don't know if he can prove it, but if he doesn't file it, you never know. And I'm reminded of a guy who played for the Toronto Blue Jays, Andre Dawson, many years ago, who filed a grievance that many people thought had no chance of going anywhere. But you have to, if you know, he's already taken some bold steps. So I think filing the grievance was good. But you're right, it is time for people, for players in the league, it's time to move beyond the conversation, because the conversation has been completely hijacked, and people aren't talking about what needs to be discussed. But the reason I was encouraged by the Muhammad is because the meeting talked about what things they can do, and that's the key. What can you do? I know that Malcolm, one of the players in the meeting, Malcolm Jenkins, that plays for the Philadelphia Eagles, had an editorial, if you will, on CNN. He wrote a commentary. He's in terms of talking about really what the issues are and what kind of things they should do and can do moving forward, because you're right, it has to be more than this conversation. But there does need to. It is time for some next steps, right? Because the kneeling and all of that has become something that's beyond what it started about. Yeah. Exactly, and one of the things that's been interesting to me, and I don't know, it's not been surprising, I say interesting, is to just see how people have reacted. Like we said, it was hijacked and it was made an issue about the flag. It is not, or about the anthem, and it was not about the anthem. Although when people talk to me about the anthem, I ask them to pull up the third stanza of the anthem. I mean, so you know, the anthem was not, he's not protesting the anthem. The players that were taking the knee were not. But, you know, if they were, I mean, the anthem wasn't written for them. It wasn't written for me. It wasn't written for you. So clearly because the person who wrote it wrote the whole thing, and when you look at the whole body of the song, but that's, to me, that's a whole other conversation because that's not what this was all about. I was actually, Brother Muhammad, surprised when I saw the list of people who attended the meeting and the owners who attended the meeting. One of the owners was Texans owner Bob McNair, and I was actually surprised that he was one of the ones that attended the meeting. I just was. Right. Talk about that, Brother Muhammad, because I agree. I mean, you know, I had a conversation with somebody about a week ago, and I was talking about what I do with Chalk Talk and some of the ways I use it, and they were like, yeah, but, you know, what if I don't like sports? And I get it. I said, well, you don't have to like sports, but the reality is sports is one of those things that brings people together. It's one of those, it creates one of those opportunities for us to unify, be in the same room, maybe have conversations we wouldn't normally have. And it's really, but it, with that, it is also a microcosm of society. So stuff that happens in sports, it happens every place else. So what's happening in the National Football League is, and the feelings and the responses that people are happening, it's what's happening around our country right now because it is a very tense and a very divisive time, and so the communication piece is really critical. And I'm always thinking, you know, how do I help bridge the gap? Where can I help bridge the gap? Because these are some dangerous times, and I don't know if people, if a lot of people really realize it. I mean, it's not enough just to be mad, but it's a lot of stuff happening around our country and around our world, but right here in our country that we need to be aware of. And we need people who are willing to stand up, who are given, I don't want to say power, but influence, if you will, whether they be politicians or leaders or whatever they are, whoever they are, we need for them to represent, and we need for them to be informed, and we need for them to operate with some integrity. And those are some concerns that I know I have personally. Oh, good. Right. Well, you know, you talk about economics, and I do think that's, you know, and I want to talk to you when we're offline, because I want to be a part of that effort, what's happening in Harris County, because it is about what's happening with the system, the law enforcement and you know, bail. And there's a reform is huge where there needs to be reform. There's a lot of opportunity for work, and so I want to make sure, you know, like that's an area that I'm plugged into. And I think it's important, too, that people other places see it, because it can be a great example of how change starts to happen. But one of the areas that the country, at least from a political standpoint, seems to be unified behind is this opioid crisis. And I don't want to seem insensitive, like I don't care about that, but I just get amazed every time I hear people with this outpouring and outcry about what we've got to do. And I'm like, if we had had just a little bit of that when crack cocaine infested our communities, what a difference it would have made. But I know I should let that go. But it's a problem for me. Yeah. Thank you. Well, you know, it's a reminder, Brother Muhammad, that there is a lot of work to do. And, you know, we do have to move beyond conversation, but we do have to also talk about it. We have to talk about what the issues are. We have to talk about what the challenges are. And we have to call stuff out when it needs to be called out, because everybody would probably rather if we were just silent and we just went along and were glad to be in the room, but nothing would be accomplished or gained by that. So I, as always, appreciate the work you do and appreciate you making time for me this morning on such short notice. I know you kind of had to juggle some things, but I think it's important for people to know the work that's happening here, but the work that also still needs to be done. And I like to give people things to do, you know, like what is something that if people who are listening to the show, like, okay, you know, I don't even go to NFL games because I can't even afford the tickets. That's a whole other story. But what can I do to affect some positive change where I am? Because I say the change can happen right where you are. Do some work right in your neighborhood. Heck, maybe even in your own house. But what is it? What are some things that you would encourage people to do if they want to have some role in making a positive change in these really trying times that we're in right now? Right. All right, Brother Muhammad. As always, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, and we will talk again soon. All right, you too. Thank you very much. That was Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad. I pause when I say his name because I know it because it was I used to call him Robert, but I like to honor him and where he is, and he is brother Abdul Halim Muhammad, and he is a great community servant and he's a minister in the Nation of Islam. He's a great friend, but he's also just he's an urban expert, like an urban planning expert, not just because he talks about it, but he's studied it. He's actually got a PhD in it, and he's just a wealth of information. So whenever I can have him on the show, it always adds to the dialogue and conversation, and I always learn something new. So thanks to him for being on the show with me this morning. I really appreciate that. I wanted to say this. He did mention, Brother Muhammad did mention the Astros. I haven't talked much about them, but before we get out of here today, the Astros were in action yesterday. They were up 4-0 against the Yankees and ended up losing. The series is now tied 2 games apiece. That was a tough loss yesterday, you know, because that could really have changed the trajectory of the playoffs. I mean, not that it would have been over, but to go up 3-1 and then go into game 5 today having Dallas Keuchel on the mound would have been pretty amazing. So Aaron Judge, who has been struggling in these postseason games, has had, 5 RBIs in the last 2 playoff games maybe? So the Astros were up 4-0. They ended up losing last night, yesterday afternoon, 6-4 in game 4 of the ALCS. They gave up 4 runs in the 8th inning. So, and the Astros just couldn't get their bats going after that. You know, they didn't have, you know, anything else. But the games are, listen, the series is tied at 2-2, and it is not over. So, a win today would be great, game 5. If they could win game 5, game 6 and 7 will be held at Minute Maid Park. 6, definitely at Minute Maid Park. Game 7, if necessary. So, you know, the Astros, listen, I think if you followed me throughout the summer and we've talked about the Astros and the great things that the Astros have done and the season they were having, you know, I don't Can this the question will be, can this Astros bullpen hold up? And last week, Mike Jackson, the former closer, big league closer, joined me, and that was what we talked about, how we know about their starting pitching. Can the bullpen hold up? And so we will see. But with that, game 5 is today at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. We'll watch, and hopefully today the Astros, you know, if you get 4 runs, you should be able to hold, your pitching should be able to hold you, especially in postseason. So we will see. But with that, we're out of time. Thank you for joining me on this special day of Chalk Talk. We will be having updates throughout the Astros games the next few nights. As always, make sure you share the video. If you're listening on Blog Talk, make sure you share this with your friends and your family, the link, because we're really trying to build and grow the community of Chalk Talk and grow it around not just the country but around the globe. So thank you for being a part of it. And as always, I appreciate you. Remember, do something kind for yourself and do something kind for somebody else. I will see you next Thursday. We're back to Thursday next week on Chalk Talk. Goodbye, everybody.